Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 33 through 48. Will you stand for the reading of the word? Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. So this week, this is the first week I've really had a lot of comments about the homework. Because last week I challenged you to go 48 hours without media. And in the spirit of things, I have to say that for the most part, I did pretty good. I did have to get on Facebook once because I needed a picture to send to the pastor appreciation meal. And it was one that Susie Mitchell had taken that I wanted to use for that. And so I had to get back on Facebook and snag it. And I thought, oh my gosh, people are going to see me on here. And I told them I wasn't going to be back on here for 48 hours. But I will say that I got more done in those 48 hours than I had prior to that. It freed up a lot of time, and I was extremely productive. And I hope those of you who participated in that, you were blessed by that. And really, we aren't looking for perfection. We're looking at channels of how we can draw closer to God and utilize our time wisely and incorporate more time spending with God and with those around us and being aware of that space that's being provided through these exercises. All right, so today, last week we talked about adultery, wasn't that fun, and anger. This week we're going to talk about deceit and hate. Jesus really gets into some deep things in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's just hitting them one after another. So we come to the part about don't swear falsely. Some people will pick this up, I'm going to grab my water, and think that it's about not making oaths. And I will say That's a little bit of it. But mostly what Jesus is trying to get at is don't be the type of person that whatever you do, you have to make a promise that you're telling the truth. Let me give an example. I'll pay you back, I promise. Why does a person have to promise that they're telling the truth? Because they've been untrustworthy in other things. Jesus says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no, and you don't have to make any promises to back that up. It's also not directly about falsehood. You'll have to excuse me. Mouth is really dry. Lying is more about deceit. Because sometimes we tell untruths and we don't even realize we're doing it. We really believe that it's true. Right? We go and we see a person and somebody wants you to describe that person. Oh, they were wearing orange. Well, they might have been wearing red. That wasn't really a lie. You're telling them what you remember, even though it may have been false. A lie is telling a falsehood with the intention of deceiving. That's lying, all right? Telling a falsehood with the intention of deceiving. That's what lying is. So it has to do with the integrity of what comes out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth is directly what's in your heart. All right. People lie for two reasons, usually. The first reason is out of fear. They want to avoid something bad. All right, let me give you an example. I remember as a kid, I was really little, and I was beginning to be at the age where I was getting really fascinated with all my mom's stuff, all right? And she had left out some of her personals, and one of them was a thing of deodorant, which I was still young. I had not discovered deodorant, didn't need to use it yet, but it had this little dial at the bottom. So I started spinning that dial, but the lid wasn't off. So all of a sudden, the stuff's coming out, squishing out of the lid. I'm like, oh no. So I cleaned it up, put it back on the shelf, and left. The next time my mom goes to use the deodorant, it's a mess. So my mom comes storming into my room, Stephanie Marie, did you mess with my deodorant? Oh no, ma'am. No, ma'am. The reason that I lied was to avoid the consequences. All right? So we lie out of fear. We lie to avoid. All right? The second reason we lie is out of desire. The wanting to gain something. All right? So we'll tell a lie that goes something like this. So I'm a teenager, I'm in junior high, and my mom takes me shopping, and she's more concerned with comfort, and we are in the shoe department. She picks out the most ugly shoes. I will grant to her that they were comfortable. They look like something that a nurse would have worn in the 70s, something across from a loafer and I don't know what. And I'm thinking to myself, I could not wear those to school and not be picked on or made fun of. So, and of course, they're the most comfortable shoes in the world. She makes me put them on. Mom, they feel awful. And so, you know, I'm looking at the pretty shoes because I want the pretty shoes. How about these? Oh, Mom, they're so comfortable. They could be pinching my toes off. No, I want these. See, I was lying to gain something I wanted. All right, those are the top two reasons we usually will lie. As we get into adulthood, the gaining usually has to do with our own self-esteem. We want to look good in front of others. So you're in a group of people, your peers, and they're talking about what they've read. and it's in your wheelhouse, but you haven't read it yet. And they ask, hey, have you read this? Oh, sure, I've read it. Because you want to keep up with them. You don't want to be the odd man out and admit to your peers that you haven't read this book that has a lot to do with what you do. All right, so sometimes it's a desire to gain something, to gain admiration, to be a part of the group. But we can tell lies a lot. And sometimes they're little, and sometimes they're bigger. Sometimes it's to hide things that we're doing. No, I don't have that problem anymore. And we go and hide it in the dark, whether it's alcohol or whether it's things that we shouldn't be looking at. And we hide a part of ourselves and what we're doing. But Jesus says, you've heard it said. This is what this world says. These are the boundaries that you've been given. So when you're on the stand and you place your hand on that Bible and you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, you're expected to tell the truth or it's perjury, and you will be punished if they found out that you're guilty of perjury. All right? This is from Scripture. They expected the same thing. If you lied under oath in a court of law, you were guilty and punished. If you lied just out and about in town, that wasn't offensible to the law. So they really didn't think anything of it. It didn't come with guilt. It didn't come with punishment, unless you were caught. But Jesus says, when you're out and about, outside of the court of law, outside of the realm of justice, tell the truth and don't swear by God, by your mother's grave, on your own life, promising that it's true. Because that promise is unnecessary. It should be unnecessary to have to back up your word with extra promises and oaths. All right? So he says, just tell the truth. Speak plainly. Speak plainly. Plain speech. So the Quakers, a long, long time ago, are the ones that are credited with the invention of the price tag. I don't know if any of you know this, but the reason we have price tags is because the Quakers believed that there was lying when you went and haggled. Before this, there was nothing but haggling. You would go to the market, and everything they felt like was overpriced. So what you would do is you would haggle to get that at a fair price. And they felt like the vendors were lying about what the product was really worth. So when they put things on the market, they put a price tag on it, a fair price, they believed. And they said, we don't haggle, this is the price. Because they believed in plain speech. They believed that whatever you did, whether it was in your own line of work, in your own family, when you're out in the community, when you're out in the world, make your speech as plain and simple as you can and just tell the truth. And when it came down to the product for them, it was exactly what they felt like the product was worth. Now, so we've been talking a little bit about the integrity of what comes out of our mouths. Avoid telling lies. Tell the truth. But there's other ways that we utilize our mouth as well. One of those is to bless others. All right. To use our speech in a way of love. Now, I've explained this to you before, what love is. Love is not a feeling. It doesn't matter what the songs on the radio tell you. All right? Love is the willing of the good of someone else. All right? Love is the willing of the good of someone else. All right? So when we think about utilizing our mouths for the good of someone else, for the willing of the good of someone else, it means that we speak words of encouragement. We give attaboys, attagirls, kudos, build people up, and we give words of kindness and compassion. All right. This moves us into the next section that Jesus is talking about. We talk about love and the willing is the willing of the good of another. Jesus says, "You've heard it said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies." This was the boundary. This was the parameter that the world gave. Sounds like an easy enough one. That's great. But Jesus says, "I say unto you, love your neighbor, love your enemy, and pray for them." And then he begins to give examples. All right, he gives the example of the cheeks. All right, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the left. Now, there's been a lot of conversation about this verse because some people think that Jesus is giving the word to be passive. So I need a volunteer that I can hit. Just joking. I won't hit you. I just need a volunteer. Anybody? Don't be afraid. I'm not even that big, people. Carly, come here. Okay, that'll good. All right, Pam. No, you have to turn the other cheek. It's biblical. All right, I need you to just face me so the congregation. All right, so what happened was the rule of the culture for the Romans and the Greeks was they did most things with their right hand, including attack. So, and they would use the back of their hand. They never used their left. All right, so a master could beat their slave, and slaves usually would not hit back because there would be great detriment to them. If someone equal to you came and hit you, you could hit back, but you could also take them to court. All right, so what Jesus is saying, all right, remember that Jesus is not telling you to be passive. Jesus is not telling you just to take it. So what would happen is they would use the back of their hand to hit with the right hand on the right cheek. So they would hit you like this. So, yeah. Jesus says, present your other cheek. They can't use their left. They have to think. You're challenging them to think about what they're doing. Because what would happen when a slave was hit by their master, they would cower. They were hoping that it would stop. They would take a passive stance, and the beatings wouldn't stop. All right, Pam, you can be seated. Thank you. Thank you for not hitting me back. So what the challenge was don't be aggressive. Don't retaliate. Don't go for the eye for an eye. But don't be submissive either. All right, this isn't about just taking abuse. It's about addressing the attacker with integrity and love. That's what Jesus is getting at. All right, so if you're in an abusive relationship and someone gives you the advice of turn the other cheek, don't take that advice as just take it. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying challenge the abuser. All right, with integrity and with love. All right, remember, love is the willing of the good of another. All right. So the next one, Jesus says, if someone asks you to walk a mile, walk two. All right, so it was a law that Roman soldiers could ask Jews to carry their packs for a mile, but not longer than a mile. All right. So Jesus says, if you're willing the good of another, if you're willing the good of someone who is oppressing you, All right, because Jews didn't like Romans. They didn't want to walk a couple of steps with Romans, much less carry their pack for a mile. They would go begrudgingly because it was the law. Jesus says, go ahead and offer them another mile. You get there to that mile? Hey, you need me to go another mile with you? This pack ain't so heavy. That Roman is going to be taken aback by not your passivity, not your begrudging, like, thanks, miles over, I'm out of here. But hey, you want me to go another mile with you? A willingness for the good of another, all right? And being assertive in that willingness. So someone, all right, so the clothing thing. Clothing was used as collateral. So if you were, if you went and borrowed money from someone, you could use your clothing as collateral. And they allowed this because for some people were so poor, that's all they had was their clothing. All right? And the person that you owed money to could collect that debt at any time. So when they come to collect the debt, you may not have the money. So they were allowed to take your tunic. Now, your tunic was the garment that actually touched your skin. All right? Your tunic was your main wardrobe. All right? They were not allowed by law to take your cloak. All right, the translation sometimes gets a little messed up because it says if they take your coat and then your cloak. But it's really tunic and cloak. The cloak was an overgarment that often doubled as a blanket. And there was a reason that people weren't allowed to take that, because that was considered a person's shelter, because it was their blanket, if that's all they have. All right. So when the person you are indebted to comes to you and says, hey, pay up and you don't have anything, you give them your tunic, and then you say, do you want my cloak too? How important is my clothing to you? You see, it gives them a challenge to think about what they're doing when you give these suggestions. And you're willing them their goodness. All right, there's a lot of things going on with these suggestions. The last one was giving generously to those who beg. The law was the only people that you had to give to was your family, your kinfolk. You didn't have to give to anybody else, and you didn't have to feel guilty about that. So if you saw a panhandler, oh, don't know them, they're not my family. Let their family take care of them. But Jesus says, give to all who beg. And be generous. All right. He's saying you're completely different. Willing the good of another, whether you know them or not. Now, for each of these, I will say they're principles and not laws. With each of these, Jesus expects you to use your reason and your wisdom. It doesn't mean that you go off and you give money to all who beg, because some of them don't make wise choices with that money. Do you find other ways to help them? All right. When you're in an abusive relationship, you get out. Right? When somebody takes advantage of you over and over and over again, you get out. All right. These are not suggestions for you to stay in abusive relationships, but they are suggestions on how you can challenge the way the world thinks and behaves. Because at the very beginning of this, if you remember, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You're completely different than the world. You're challenged to look different, to be different. When you're faced with adversary, you're going to treat it differently than the way the world treats it. And the way the world treats it is, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back, and I'm going to hit you back harder, is what the world says. That's why they had to have a law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It was to bring justice, It wasn't so that you'd go poke somebody else's eye out. It was to give boundaries of what was allowed. Because people had such a vengeful nature. Oh my gosh, you killed my dog. I'm going to kill your cows and chickens too. I'm going to get you and your little dog Toto too. All right, this very nature of revenge and one-upmanship, that law was to level out the playing field. You can only reciprocate at the level of what was done to you. So if somebody knocked out your tooth, you were only to knock out one of theirs. If someone took your cow, you were only allowed to take one of theirs, not their whole herd. All right? It put a cap on what you were allowed to do. But Jesus says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, love those who persecute you. These challenges are very, very hard. Jesus is challenging us today. Think about what comes out of your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth reflects what's in your heart. Think about how you react to other people, and don't just react, but respond. Don't go with your gut. Go with what's going on in your heart. Because what Jesus is getting at is about who you are and who your identity is. You're a child of God. You are a person in whom Christ dwells. You don't just live in the world. You live in the kingdom of God. Paul said he can be in the world but not of the world. What Paul's getting at is look different. Enter in, but look different. Act different. Be different. Be who God's calling you to be. Because this is who God is. Jesus ends that, be perfect as your Father is perfect. Jesus isn't exactly looking for perfection as we define perfection, because that's a bit overwhelming, right? That's overwhelming. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you to be perfect, especially when I'm not. But I will say that we serve a God who loves his enemies. We serve a Savior who died on a cross, and some of his last words was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We serve a God who prayed for his enemies. We serve a God who in Romans we proclaim, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. Jesus, God loves his enemies. And Jesus is challenging us to do the same. So my challenge for you this week, it's a whole lot easier than last week. My challenge for you this week is to pray for your enemies. I really want you to delve deep into what's going on in your heart. Some bitterness that you haven't let go. Some anger. There may be a person at work who's just really twisting the knife. Or you may have someone in your family that just, you don't even want to answer the phone when they call. Whoever that, it might be your neighbor who lets their dog out and the dog poops in your yard. It could be just whatever you're harboring that just really, you can feel it in you. To pray for that person. And what I'm going to challenge you to pray for them to be blessed. Pray that their needs are met. Pray that they are satisfied. Pray for their heart, for their mind, for their body, for their soul. Every single day this week. And herein lies the second part of that challenge. You're going to pray and you're going to think, you know, I'm not really feeling this. I'd rather go back to that eye for an eye thing. That dog pooped in my yard. Lord God, let something go poop in theirs. No. Don't go there. Pray for their blessing. It may change them, and it may not. But at the end of the week, what I want you to really reflect on is, did it change you? Did it change how you feel about that neighbor, that coworker, that family member? Think about when you're sitting at the table with friends, who you gossip about. That may be somebody that you need to pray for. Because, you know, gossiping, and let me tell you something about truth. Truth is not always good. And there are times what defines gossip is hurtful. So it could be true or it could be false. But the thing about gossip, it is hurtful to someone else. It's hurtful to their character. So the thing about truth is sometimes all truth, nothing but the truth, can be very painful. So you're sitting around the table and you're talking about someone and it's painful for someone else because it hurts their character, it hurts who they are, then you may not need to be saying that truth. You might need to keep that truth to yourself. It's that old adage where our parents and our grandparents said, if you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. All right. When we speak and when we challenge, we do so with love. And love is the willing of the good of another, even when they disgust us, even when they despise us, even when they persecute us. That's Christ's challenge for us. So we hear Christ's words this day, and this week we rise to the challenge and we pray for our enemies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.